Hey, Bears fans, this is Cole Wright from Marquee Sports Network. Now, we know you can never get enough Bears, so join us Tuesday for Bear Essentials, a recap of this week's Bears action and analysis of the week ahead. Then, we'll re-air this week's Bears game at 7 o'clock on Marquee Sports Network.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, all over last night's Bears loss, 41-25, but it was much uglier for most of the game, 27-3 in a blink of an eye, 41-10 after three.
And a lot of previous Bears losses, the actual game was harder to watch than the box score afterwards.
Yeah, you're absolutely right about that. Our Bears Monday coverage is brought to you by your local Chicagoland Acura dealers. NBC doing a great job as always. Sunday Night Football. And two friends of the show had the call of the game. Al Michaels is a friend of the show as well. We go way, way back with Mike Tirico. And Tony Dungy in recent years has been very, very good to us. He's the Hall of Fame Super Bowl winning head coach and NFL lifer, really. And he joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. Tony, how are you feeling today after watching all that?
Well, it was kind of unexpected. I thought we were going to have a really, really good game. Talking to the Bears players and coaches, they had the bye. They thought they were ready. They thought they had a good plan. And I expected to see that Bears-Packers, you know, rivalry-type emotion and energy. And the game started out well, but having to settle for that field goal early and then just a couple of misfires on offense. Bears were moving the ball, but they couldn't keep pace, and then it just kind of snowballed. So it was a little disappointing to me to see the Bears not make a better game of it.
Tony, as a Hall of Fame coach, is there any good explanation for a team like this Bears group that struggles consistently? Three straight years coming out of the bye, they have played poorly on both sides of the football. Is there any solid explanation for why a team would struggle given the extra time to prepare?
No, it's hard to pinpoint, and especially this year. I think you have to throw this year out because you've got COVID-type meetings and virtual meetings, and you can do this and you can't do that. So this is a completely different year, and they're making a quarterback change. The last 2 years, I don't know what the explanation is. Then you look at a team like Kansas City, where I think Andy Reid's 19-3
right,
coming off byes. And I know Matt Nagy was with Andy. The preparation is probably exactly the same. It's really hard to put your finger on.
What surprised us the most, and Waddle, though, did go over out of the bye that the defense, even when they've been great, have struggled. But, Tony, they don't hit Aaron Rodgers at all. How shocking was that to you?
I was surprised by that because that was, in talking to the Green Bay people, that was their number one fear. Hey, we've got to move the launch point. We've got to do things. We've got to use our cadence. We've got to make sure that they can't tee off on us. I think not having Akeem Hicks really hurt. You saw, and we pointed it out on the broadcast, some of the running plays were single blocking where that just doesn't happen in the past. Roquan Smith and Danny Trevathan would be able to run free because the center and guard have to start the double team first, and that definitely hurt those inside linebackers last night. But still, the absence of a rush was really it showed up. You know, you're not going to cover those receivers, and you're not going to be able to hold them down forever. You've got to make him throw on time. You've got to make him throw some off-target balls, and the Bears really weren't able to do that.
Coach, when a defensive specialist like you were too, you said yesterday that when Jamal Williams scored, that the Bears defense on that play gave up. What would you have told your team if that had been your team today, the day after?
I would have said that is something that we can't see. We can't have a guy run through three tacklers at the 7 yard line and just walk in the end zone. That's not Bears football. We can't have that. In fact, right after that play, I would have gone up to him and said, hey, this fourth quarter, we're not going to win the game, but we've got to shut these guys down. We've got to show me some Bears football in this fourth quarter, because they had played okay up to that point. It wasn't probably their standard But that one play was just it stood out to me that it was just kind of, hey, we could get this guy down, but is it really worth it? And that is not what I'm used to seeing from the Bears.
Coach, Sylvie made this point, I think, after it took place. It's an interesting point, too, about the coin flip and whether or not you would prefer, because the Bears won the coin flip and deferred, correct? Isn't that what they did?
Yes, they did. Yeah.
Knowing that Aaron Rodgers and the Packers, it's like clockwork, that when they get the ball on their first drive, they put it in the end zone. If you were in Matt Nagy's shoes, knowing that, would you maybe have taken the ball and kind of maybe tried to switch it up on the Packers?
You know, it's hard to say. You want to put your stronger unit out there. Everybody kind of goes with these analytics now, and they defer. I never did. When I had Peyton Manning, obviously that's a different situation. But I wanted to be just what Green Bay did the other night. I want Peyton to have the ball. Let's go down and score, and then you're playing catch-up against us. So I didn't really care about that double score, halftime, whatever. I always felt like if we got the ball first and we imposed our will, now the other team was playing on their heels. So I think it depends on your team.
Right.
When I was in Tampa, now I loved, we didn't have the deferral option. I loved losing the toss because I wanted to go out on defense first.
Yeah, I would say
it kind of depends.
Yeah, having Peyton Manning probably changes the narrative, doesn't it, Coach?
But I am not deferring if I've got Peyton Manning. If I've got Aaron Rodgers, I don't think I'm deferring. I want to do just what they did last night.
Yeah.
You know, and having coached Peyton Manning, and like you said, in Tampa, you didn't have that. So tell us firsthand, what is it like having the star quarterback? Like, how much does he raise everything, and how much do you need to do to raise him, if at all?
Oh, I think you do need to push that guy. And Peyton, that was the first thing he told me when I got the job. Hey, I want to be coached. I want to be pushed. Coach me hard. We've got to get better. I want to win a championship. So when you get that, that really helps. Your star player sets the tone. But I'll tell you what, he did so much for me and made it easy because everything that I preached about effort and energy and intensity, he exemplified out on the field. He wouldn't let guys let up. He would not let us have a bad practice. And that's what you want from your leader. Mondays for us, historically, they were always for the guys who didn't get to play. That's the time the backup quarterback, the backup receivers, you want to let them get work. He told me after I laid out that schedule, he said, no, I don't let anybody go out there and take the first reps. I'll be out there with the first group. So, of course, when he goes out, Marvin wants to go out. Reggie wants to go out with that group. So I'm like, when can we get Jim Sorge some work here? But that's the kind of attitude you want, and that permeates through the whole team.
Coach, what did you see from Mitchell Trubisky last night?
I saw some good things, believe it or not. It's hard to look back and say, oh, okay, the score wasn't appetizing. One of the things that Matt Nagy told me he wanted to see was how he bounced back from bad plays and if he could put it behind him and go forward. In that fourth quarter, after he'd had a couple of turnovers, he got some drives going and he executed. He made some good on-time, on-target throws. A couple things that, you know, it would have been, I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but it could have been different. I remember a first down throw on third down that gets called back because of a holding penalty. And now instead of first and 10 moving, you're third and 20. And then the sack fumble comes. So, yes, it was ugly. It wasn't pretty. But there was enough things that he did that I think show you a little hope and a little life. And the Bears moved the football. The first two drives, they moved the ball. They had to settle for a field goal, and then they had a turnover. So I saw some bad decisions trying to force the ball once they got behind. But all in all, I'd give him a B-minus for that performance.
Hall of Famer Tony Dungy joining us. It's Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000. We're still pretty upset, though. And, you know, that's five losses in a row, and this is a team that for the last couple of years after the 12-4 season hasn't lived up to what we thought, and I don't think there's a real great quarterback future. Let me ask you this, because we're talking a lot about possibly restructuring the Bears. If you, who has been around the block and knows this league well, if you ran a team, just any team in general, and you needed advice on who to hire or where to go, in or out of football, who is one of the first guys you go to, Tony, just to ask, just to pick their brain on how to sort of change the way a franchise is run?
Well, I'm going to the guys who are my era who did it. I'm going to Bill Polian, who put together a winner in Buffalo, in Carolina, and in Indianapolis. I'm going to Mike Holmgren. I'm going to Bill Cowher, and I'm going to talk to them just about what you see and how you would do things. I think those proven winners and guys who have done it in multiple places, that's who you want to look to. Andy Reid, I'd certainly talk to Andy if I were doing anything right now.
How difficult do you believe it's been to manage a football team at this point with COVID and all that has gone on, Tony?
Oh, it's absolutely ridiculous. I can't even imagine. I was actually calling on the phone with Chuck Pagano on Saturday morning, and Coach Nagy interrupts us and says, "Hey, Chuck, you've got to get these three guys the COVID test by 8 o'clock. If they don't test by 8, you know, they're not going to be able to play, and where are they?" And things that I would have never had to worry about. So that's crazy. And then you get a situation like Denver had. Hey, our four quarterbacks, maybe they don't follow the rules, and all of a sudden we don't have those guys. Well, you're always planning for injuries, but you aren't planning to lose four guys at the same position in one event. And it can happen, and it has happened in this. So, hey, we might play today, we might play Thursday, we might play Sunday, we might play Tuesday. I just don't know how you would keep all that straight on top of everything else you have to do as a coach. It's a difficult year, really is.
Do you agree with what the league is doing with this Pittsburgh-Baltimore game where it was supposed to be Tuesday, now they're moving it again to Wednesday? I think this is a fourth day they've had planned for this game.
I really think that the league is in a tough position, and what they're trying to do is get all these games played. And really, what, in my opinion, what it's going to come down, we aren't going to be able to play all the games. There's going to be some situations like this that just have a sense that you can't play it in a fair way. So what do you do? Do you play one less game? You see how it impacts at the end of the year. Nobody wants to go into week 18. I understand that. But these are uncharted waters. So I think you have to be ready with some uncharted flexibility. I would rather this game be played, if it's played at all, be played at a time which is fair to both teams.
Tony, I'm sure you were getting ready for your broadcast. I don't know how much you caught of the Chiefs and the Bucs game, but what can you say about what you're watching from Patrick Mahomes?
Well, he's fantastic. I've really enjoyed watching him. I did get a chance to see quite a bit of that game, and what struck me is I think week 6 they played Buffalo. And Buffalo was going to play all nickel defense, take away Tyreek Hill, take away the big play, and Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy dialed up 46 runs in that game and only threw it 22 or 23 times. Well, this week the Bucs are going to blitz them, and they're going to play with this great run front and these linebackers, and they're going to come downhill. And they said, you know what? Forget about the run. We're going to throw 52 times, and that's what I love. I think Patrick Mahomes will play any style. You want to give us one-on-one, I can take deep shots, I'll do that. If the Raiders played them last week and it was don't give up the deep ball and it was 100 short passes, I can do that. If you're going to give me the run, I'm content to do that. And I think that's what we kind of neglect and don't mention about Patrick Mahomes, his mental game and understanding the whole thing and what needs to be done. He's processing all of this stuff in Andy's offense week in and week out for a 25-year-old, it's pretty unbelievable.
How about the job that Eric Bieniemy has done as well as their offensive coordinator?
You know, I think he's been fantastic. We got a chance to cover them last year coming into the playoffs, and everybody says, oh, it's Andy's offense, and it is. But Eric Bieniemy gives them that edge, and he is the guy who makes corrections. He's the guy that keeps everybody motivated. He's the guy Patrick talks to when he comes over. Yeah, we all saw the big production on the Super Bowl, the 3rd and 15, and there's a delay because of the replay. Was it a catch? Is it not? And he's talking to Eric. Hey, do we have time to run WASP? I'd like to get this. I think we can get this in. What do you think? What does Andy think? And Eric has been that kind of buffer and that guy who's really connected with the quarterback. So I would be, if he doesn't get a head coaching offer this year, I'd be shocked.
Right.
settle something for us, Coach, because we get callers all the time, and we live in the past here where we're saying that, hey, you know, the Bears should have taken Mahomes or they should have taken Watson. People call in and they say Mahomes wouldn't be Mahomes if he was here in Chicago with these skilled guys, with these coaches. How would you answer that question or counter that statement on Patrick Mahomes?
Well, I would say those are both true statements, and I can take you back to Peyton Manning and Ryan Leaf. Right now, everybody thinks it was a no-brainer, a landslide. Well, I wasn't there, but talking to people who were there, Bill Polian, it wasn't. It was close. You know, Leaf has upside, and he's only played a couple of years. He's going to get better. Is Peyton as good as he's going to be? All of those things. And it came down to, yes, we'll take Peyton Manning. Okay, Ryan Leaf goes to the Chargers. Well, Peyton Manning had Hall of Fame running back, Hall of Fame receivers, a Hall of Fame GM putting all that together. And we fed that offense. And he had the same offensive coordinator his whole time there. So he had the benefit of some things Ryan Leaf didn't have. Now, would Ryan Leaf have been Peyton Manning had he come to Indianapolis? Would Peyton Manning struggle like Ryan Leaf in the Chargers in San Diego? Who's to say? But, yeah, it wouldn't have been the same. And, you know, Manning did benefit from his circumstances. Patrick Mahomes is going to be good. Would he be lights out anyplace else? This was the perfect storm. They've got great receivers. They've got a great coach. Everything is set up for him. I think he does benefit from that, no question.
Tony, but do you think we'd be complaining if Watson or Mahomes was our quarterback coach?
I don't think you would be. I think you'd be pretty happy with it. I remember Dabo Swinney saying, people who pass on Deshaun Watson, they're going to regret it, and he was right. And Mahomes, I don't know that anybody saw that coming, but that's the beauty of football. That's why you have it. That Tom Brady, you know, a lot of teams are kicking themselves for not taking him. It happened.
Coach, do you anticipate at some point Peyton will get back into the game, whether it's as a partial owner or a GM or the president of football ops? Will he be back in the game at some point?
You know, I've talked to him a few times, and I think he really wants to be in the game, but his kids are at a point now, and he knows himself, and he knows that if he goes back in it, he's going to be 100 miles an hour. He's going to be at that office a lot. Does he want to do that to his family right now? And I think there's opportunities that he would like to have, and he'd like to do it, but he wants to be fair to his family. So I think it's going to be 3 or 4 years, but I think you will see him back in someone's organization.
So you don't. If I came with a big bag of money and said, hey, be our Bears president, would he say yes?
I don't know that he'd say yes this year, but you'd get him to listen, and then maybe if you got him in 2 more years, you might get him.
He doesn't need the money anyway, right? So maybe he just wants to come and do it for fun.
Yeah, he wants the challenge. Yeah. He'd like the challenge. You could tell him he's got a big challenge there. That might get him.
Coach, you're the best. We always love talking to you. Great job yesterday, okay?
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you very much. Great to be with you guys.
You too. The Hall of Famer, Tony Dungy from NBC, is also doing the Notre Dame games too, and they're for real. We could talk to him down the road that's about them.
Football's better when Peyton Manning's involved in some way, shape, or form. And I've always felt he would get back involved at some point. So I never thought he'd be in the booth.
Because, yes, they're like John Elway. There are bigger things to do. 312-332-3776. Do you want to talk about the game itself against the Packers? Or do you want to talk about the bigger picture and what the Bears have to do? That's what the theme has been all day long here on a very, very important day. These are important 5 weeks going into the offseason. What is George McCaskey thinking? We will discuss that in Mark Jean Greco at 5:30.
This is the home of Waddle and Sylvie for the ride home. Weekdays 2 to 6 on ESPN 1000. Chicago's home for sports.
All right, plenty of time for your phone calls, your thoughts on the Bears. It's time to clean house. It's not because I want heads to roll. It's just because I believe they're all out of solutions. I believe the quarterbacks aren't right. I believe the coach is out of solutions. The general manager has been given 6 years. He has no solutions whatsoever, especially offensively. By the way, is Cole Kmet good? Is he good or no?
I don't know. You know what? I'm hesitant right now to pass judgment on anyone on the offensive side of the ball.
Until they get around new coaches?
Yeah. I mean, not everybody. I know what both quarterbacks are.
He dropped that pass in the end zone yesterday. You know, what could have been a fumble. It was ruled incompletion. It's just, and I guess when you get so few, you get so few targets, it's tough. But, you know, his numbers are shockingly bad.
Yeah.
Shockingly bad.
Yeah, they are. They're significantly less than what we anticipated. For sure.
But is that a mark against him? Is that a mark against the coaching staff? I don't, I'm just,
well, I think
everything
it would,
is so backwards these days.
I think it's fair to question where what he's potentially capable of. And I think it's fair to question whether or not this group is using him correctly.
Yeah, I mean, they continue to
I mean, he's getting more run.
Yeah. You know, you see Tanyan out there. Tanyan's from McHenry. He played for Indiana State. He was an undrafted free agent that signed with the Lions originally. They thought he was good enough to replace Jimmy Graham. He's now playing with Aaron Rodgers. It helps.
Yeah, that does
help. But now what does he have, 6 or 7 touchdowns? And they said, you know what? You know what we don't need is Jimmy Graham. And the Bears couldn't wait to pay him $9 million.
Like, Jimmy Graham is a threat from the 7-yard line and in. He just is. But that's not worth $9 million guaranteed to me. I mean, from the 9 to the...
Especially when you have O-line problems.
When you go from the 9 to the 9, that's a big swath.
Instead of the red zone, what zone is that?
I'm just saying. I don't know. I just picked a number.
Did you guys see the play? I think it was late in the game.
Where he tried to run the out and the up.
Well, he caught it. In the moment he caught it, you could tell the immediate regret on his face that he caught a pass, because now he had to figure out a way to either get down or get hit. And he, started stumbling, and he's so stiff. And
yeah, Tanyan has got 7 touchdown catches.
Yeah. That's more than Kmet and Jimmy Graham combined.
Well, Jimmy Graham had 5, I believe, in 2 years in Green Bay, didn't he?
Yeah.
And I know I read somewhere where, all of the guys in Green Bay loved Jimmy Graham. He was a good mentor to guys. That doesn't mean you need to give him $9 million guaranteed.
Again, I got a football team that I'd love to have in my neighborhood. They all could be my neighbors.
I'm with you. I just don't know. The number of decisions that just leave you going, huh?
Well, think about all these tight ends he's brought in, you know?
Oh, by the way, you're watching Trey Burton in Indianapolis making some grabs now, aren't you?
He did that the first half when he was here,
yeah.
And then he got broken, and they couldn't fix him, and then now he's healthy again. I mean, but Deion Sims before him, remember Deion Sims? Yeah. The Ryan Pace, you know, Demetrius Harris, they targeted early this year.
You know, Cole
Kmet, they can't get enough.
I have a theory on this Trey Burton situation. If you've noticed with the Colts the last couple of weeks where he's played well, what is he doing? He's playing tight end, right?
Well, he looks healthier.
Well, he looks healthy, and he's playing tight end, where Matt Nagy kept trying to use him as this Swiss Army knife who could do all these different things in the jet sweep action. He could throw the football because he threw the football in that one pass in the Super Bowl to Foles. I think all that just messed with him mentally. And now he's just out there playing tight end, and he's a suitable and productive tight end for the Colts.
Yeah, they don't use him like an inline tight end. I mean, Jack Doyle.
He's a receiver.
They've got Mo Alie-Cox. Yeah, I mean, they use him like they used him in Philadelphia.
Yeah.
Which I think in his first 6 weeks here in Chicago, he was the guy I thought they were getting. When I watched him in Philadelphia, that's the first name. When Matt Nagy got here and they talked about free agents, I was like, you know what, guys? Go to Philly and try to sign Trey Burton as a free agent. They had Zach Ertz there, and he played obviously behind Zach Ertz or in 2 tight end or 3 tight end sets there. He looked like the prototypical tight end for this type of system, and I think we were all pretty happy with who he was for the first 8 weeks, weren't we?
We were. I have it on pretty good authority, though, Chris, and I've told this in crosstalk in years before, someone who knows him who told me that the Bears never got him right. He always felt he wasn't getting It was framed. Remember how it was framed in the playoff game? Like this was some sort of a big surprise, and it made it look like it was his anxiety flaring up.
Mm-hmm.
I have it on pretty good authority. They never solved what was ailing him in the groin core area. And now what you're seeing is him finally being healthy again to where he can do the things that he did early in his Bears career and with Philly.
I think he had five touchdown catches in his first seven games with the Bears. And then he had the remaining part of the season.
It looked like a good free agent signing with him and Robinson, and you thought you had building blocks, younger guys, and that's why like the Jimmy Graham thing never sat well with me, because you're adding an older guy whose body is he looks older than he even is.
Yes.
He's old to begin with. He plays older, and yet that's where you're going with this team. This team needs younger players who can grow. And there's nothing sustainable. There's no lineman you love, except a couple of interior guys.
Well,
Allen Robinson's going to want out.
Yeah, I mean, I heard Carmen the Good Kid talking today about how, like, Allen Robinson's probably thrilled he didn't sign a contract extension at
this
point.
Yeah.
So I mean,
let's see what Mark Jean Greco thinks about what Matt Nagy had to say. Yeah, so we'll talk to Marky, and you'll hear what Matt Nagy had to say. He got a little boisterous today. We'll play that coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN_Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Mark Jean Greco brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle on the River.
I saw a picture. I sent David Flom a Happy Thanksgiving message, and he sent me back a picture of them just rolling out the turkeys. I believe they did like 200 or 250.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
That's so good.
Yeah.
That's what they do. They adapt, right? They adjust, unlike Matt Nagy.
Exactly.
Guys, I got to tell you, a good friend of mine, who's had season tickets in his family since 1977. Diehard fan. And you know, I go back and forth with you guys texting and so forth during the game. Going back and forth with him in the fourth quarter, he summed it up perfectly. He just said, I hate everything about this team.
It's true.
It's just, look it, you can't fix it. It's the same old thing over and over again. It's Groundhog Day after day after day. Look, the McCaskies are never going to sell the team. The entire family lives off the franchise, okay? You want to keep Ted Phillips? I wouldn't. But if you want to keep him, just let him do the financial side. Did a great job on creating a state-of-the-art facility, okay? You have to fire Pace. You have to fire Matt Nagy, who's in way over his head. Pace has proven he's not the young, up-and-coming stud who's going to make a daring move by drafting up and taking a guy that other people had reservations about, although he was on a lot of guys' boards. You know, the overt failure with Mitch Trubisky. Now you have a defense that quit to go with no offense and no quarterback in sight. Today, Matt was asked, is Trubisky to start against Detroit? He's like, why not? I mean, it was like, it doesn't matter
why not
anymore
at this point, right? Isn't that what he said? Something
you know, it's
like
not,
that?
It's, are you, and this is the point that Sylvie's been making all the time. Are you going to let the same crew make decisions that are going to last with the organization for years to come? Like, and when it comes to going forward, when it comes to the quarterback situation, the most important position in all of professional sports, in many people's opinion, including mine, but certainly the most important position in all of the NFL. He's had swings in every possible way. They signed a free agent and Mike Glennon. How did that go? They moved up and drafted Mitch Trubisky with the second overall pick. How's that gone? They traded for Nick Foles. How's that gone? There are no other avenues to find a quarterback.
Pace has failed on every draft pick except Roquan Smith. And I still wouldn't call him a Pro Bowler. Really good, you know, kind of scrambled.
He had a bad night last night, but he's played like a Pro Bowler this year.
You're talking about first-round picks because he's hit some later, right, with Eddie Jackson in the fourth. Though he's not the player that he was 2 years ago.
No, and look at Tony Dungy last night. I love him. Gentleman Hall of Famer. And it's always a pleasure to listen to him in studio or at the game.
We just had him on.
We just had him on.
Oh, that's great. Now, he finally called out the defense saying they quit. with the poor tackling toward the end of the game. I'm glad he did that. But when he was talking about Mitch, he was so careful not to rip him. It was like a teacher trying to be so positive and encourage a failing student who has no shot, just trying to keep him going, just praising something that a standard NFL starting quarterback should do automatically. Well, his footwork was better.
It sounded like commentary describing a high school player.
Exactly, because he is in every way to me nicest guy in the world, but to me, Mitchell Trubisky is a high school player. He comes off that way. He really does. Body language, news conferences, and obviously the way he plays. He was so inaccurate. The excuse was he was throwing into the wind. And those balls would just kick off the ground. But he has no touch. He has no sense of poise in the pocket. It's just...
It's been a collective failure on offense. He's given no help.
The Bears should sell tickets to practice because they rip it up in practice.
Oh, tear it up.
We just keep hearing all the reports.
Why do you... I mean, there were a couple things. Why do you even say that? Why would you offer that he had the best week of practice he's had in his 2.5 years here? Like...
And the previous week was, hey, he was so good on the scout team. He really, and Mitch himself saying, well, I didn't want to be on the scout team, I resented it, but, you know, it made me better. And Nagy said, you know what, this week he's been better.
It's did he say something about that Mitch improved his huddle mechanics?
Oh, my God.
I think I saw Michelle Steele tweet that out.
It's also like I said earlier, when they came back and Catherine Tappan gave the report at halftime, that they were okay with the interception he threw because we were going to take a shot. I went through, and do you know where they were at that time? It was 13-3. They were trailing. Mm-hmm. They were on the Green Bay 38-yard line. It was 1st and 10. Why in the world would you ever consent to throwing a ball away or just taking a shot knowing that there was a chance that bad things would... First of all, it's a bad throw.
Double you covered in the end zone.
But you can't... You can't explain that away and say, well, we're okay with taking a shot there because we had planned on... You don't take a risky shot play like that into double coverage when you're trailing 13-3 and you're on their 38-yard line and it's 1st and 10. That makes no football sense.
What said it all is Al, Chris, and Michelle took the day off. They had the B team in there, although their B team is good. Catherine Tappan is great, especially on hockey.
Yeah.
And she does a great job in whatever she does. Of course, Tirico's a machine. He's spectacular. I love Dungy.
Yeah, I had no problem with Catherine Tappan's comment. I was just like, how in the world can the coach say that to you? And then in second breath, she said, but the coach is disappointed in the time of possession. It's really a problem. Well, when you give your quarterback the green light to throw an interception, for a lack of a better description, you're going to struggle with time of possession.
Yeah, that was the reaction everybody had, because it's the same old thing from Nagy. I had no problem with that throw. You know, there was a collective, oh, my God, really? Throughout Chicagoland.
Listen, he is very, very, very limited in terms of what you feel good about him doing. They have given him no help at all with what they've asked him to do and how they're... Like, David Montgomery rips a 57-yarder, gets the next carry, and then doesn't see the ball until the third drive. What is the one way that you can actually hurt the Green Bay defense? Well, you can hurt them a lot of ways because it's not a great defense. They give up 4.6 yards per carry, and they just won't.
Yeah, it seems so basic.
They won't even pursue.
Even with Bill Lazor upstairs, they're out-coaching each other. They're out-coaching themselves. It's like, well, they expect us to run now, so we won't. This team is so bad, they have to rely on the run to set up play action, period, and keep the throws to a minimum. Try to be third and short.
If you ask me, guys, hey, give me the game plan offensively. What do we want to do to try and get the best of the Packers? It wouldn't have been, hey, let's go in and throw first and try to get in a shootout with the Green Bay Packers and Aaron Rodgers. It would have been, let's try to make this a 2-hour and 45-minute game. Let's take the air out of the football. Let's run it 30 times. Let's shorten everything. Mm-hmm. Let's run it. Let's stay committed to running it. Let's roll Mitch out. We'll cut the field in half, give him some 1 and 2 read looks, and that's it.
The difference between the quarterbacks and the offense was so glaring. It was opposite ends of the universe. I just focused on how smooth and casual and cocky Aaron Rodgers was. I mean, was just like Chuck Pagano earlier in the week on Friday. He was so good. He goes, there's no stopping this guy. He's a Michelangelo, Picasso. He toys with you. And, you know, you thought maybe there was a little tongue-in-cheek from the defensive coordinator trying to scheme against him, but he was serious. It's like,
they didn't hit him.
We have no shot. We have no shot.
We've seen Aaron Rodgers get thrown off his game this year when he's been pressured.
Right.
The Bears did not pressure him once. They didn't touch him once.
Didn't hit him.
Well, Akeem Hicks being out changes the entire personality of that defense. There was nothing up front
but
in the middle.
But you got to find it. Yeah, well, and it doesn't help also. Listen, Eddie Goldman hasn't been here. He decided to opt out this year. So you do have a hole there. But don't tell me how rocky the water is. Dock the boat.
Right. Where's Robert Quinn, you know?
Well, he
hustled. He had a nice hustle play. But you're not paying him $30 million to hustle.
Every single Packers
play. You want him to make play.
Right. Yeah. At the end of every Packers running play, Jenkins is standing over the pile. He runs up and stands next to the pile. Didn't make one tackle the entire night.
182 rushing yards, 4.7 yards per clip is what the Green Bay Packers. And listen, they could beat you however they want it. They could beat you with Aaron Rodgers, and they could also beat you by running the football.
And a free agent tight end who replaced Jimmy Graham catches a touchdown.
I didn't want to get him. Now I'm getting angry. And
there you go.
Well, what did you guys make of like Roquan at the end of the game not liking that the Packers wanted to not have a negative play? So this is the same defense that did not want to tackle Jamal Williams going into the end zone at the end of the third quarter, like Dungy said. But yet they were all about fighting at the end of the game over a silly kneel down.
That's because you have no identity and you're so frustrated. You don't know what to do or say. So you go back to a high school mentality and try to be macho. And, you know, the announcers were laughing at that.
Why would you care? You've already got your ass beaten. You know what I mean? Like, why do you care that they're going, that they don't want a negative play? You just did 59 minutes and 30 seconds of trying to stop them, and you haven't been able to stop them.
That was like
it reminded me like of Shiano's old team.
Yes.
Do you remember in Tampa?
Yeah.
When he would like bull rush the kneel down?
Of course. Yeah. Well, it's just like those unwritten rules of baseball where benches clear because you poured it on or something, or, you know, that kind of stuff. Now it translates to losing football.
Right.
So
now you want to pose after 59 minutes and 30 seconds of letting them run down your throat.
There was a lot of posing by Bear defenders last night throughout the game, and it seemed odd. Like, usually they have reason to pose because they're usually putting it on the other team, but last night wasn't one of those days.
Yeah, Eddie Jackson was doing that. He got over to break up a wide-open play, and he was standing there waving his arms and posing. Like, you were lucky to get over there. That was blown coverage. Mm-hmm.
This was such a likable team, Mark. Getting back to the text from your buddy who said that 2 years ago at this time, I loved everything about this team.
Sylvie was an honorary member of Club Dub.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Club Dub was fantastic, and Nagy was new and he was fresh. And the offense was only the sky was the limit for the offense, and the defense was like that was a stud.
It was already locked in. Hey, I went on that rant last week. It was like, remember when Nagy came in? We're like, wow, the guy's straightforward. He's full of energy. Talks to you. Now it's just the word salad has been just soggy with too much dressing.
Yeah.
And it's just all the vegetables are rotten. The lettuce is brown. It's just
I
want to
play you some of his word salad from today. I want to do that next. Get your reaction when he's putting everyone on notice. Yeah, he's putting everyone on notice. We'll do that. We also have an entry, Marky, for the holiday parody song contest.
I'm excited.
We want you to grade our first entry that we got. It's from someone that you know.
We'll play
that coming up next.
I also have a question.
The 5 o'clock hour of Waddle and Sylvie is brought to you by the Home Loan Expert. Lower your rate, pay off your credit cards, get caught up on your bills, and stick some cash in a bank. Start the new year off right with a simple refinance at thehomeloanexpert.com.
Coming up next,
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
All right, we got a lot to do here in the last 7-8 minutes of the show. Mark Jean Greco, brought to you by our great partners and friends at Chicago Cut Steakhouse, LaSalle and the River. Get carry out today from Chicago Cut Steakhouse. I want to play you Matt Nagy. This from earlier today, putting everybody on notice.
whatever it is, I know this. We better wake our tails up. Every freaking coach on the staff, every player better wake up and start understanding where we're at. Have some personal pride. Have a freaking sense of urgency. Know where we're at. Have some pride into who we're playing for and why we do this. And then go find a way to win as a team. That's my challenge to every single person in that building this week, is that. And so yesterday was flat out embarrassing. Our guys know it. I'm not telling you something they don't know. They know it. But we're gonna step up, and all coaches, all players, and we got 5 games left. So for us, it's our own personal challenge as to where we're at and how we're going to do this thing. But that performance yesterday is ridiculous and can't happen. And obviously that starts with me.
What'd you think, Mark?
Well, you'll hear it again at 6 o'clock on ABC 7. Hey, as Tommy just said, yeah, it's great. Do the rah-rah fire and brimstone leading up to the Lions game. Why didn't you do that Saturday Sunday?
Now they can claim, like, he lit a fire under his guys. Yeah. They went out there and they beat the Lions.
Yeah, we're playing a JV team from Detroit that just fired their coach and GM.
I said earlier.
You know what he sounded like right there? Lee Elia. I hope we get hotter than crap.
Yeah, I said the butthurt quarterback and the angry coach, I don't think that message is resonating. No. When Mitch says he was blindsided by being benched, I mean, were you not watching when they traded for Nick Foles?
Were you looking in the mirror? Again, please, please stop the Pat Fitzgerald becoming head coach of the Bears. Please, for Fitz's sake, for everybody's sake.
He's got it perfect.
I'm looking out for Fitz.
Yeah.
He's got it perfect. No one gives him any crap for losing at Michigan State. If you lose a Michigan State-type game when you're the Bears coach, we're coming at you,
What did Greeny have to say today about the loss?
I didn't hear that part about Northwestern. I would like to talk to Greeny sometime this week. But I saw the tweet. You know, I sent it to the – again, it was like, hey, the Michigan State deserved to win. You know, the long way to go here, Cats. We're still in it, you know. The typical
Michigan State had no business looking that good, and Northwestern was so flat. They were so out of it. You know, Peyton Ramsey, it's like he couldn't throw the football. I know.
Any word on the kid that got hurt? I hate to.
They took him to the hospital, and the reports were very positive there. And he was moving his arms and legs.
That was scary.
Did the thumbs up on the way off.
That was scary.
Very scary. Yeah. And I immediately go to thinking of his parents and his family watching.
Always.
This.
Yeah, absolutely.
Always.
That's good to hear that.
I think he's
going to
be okay.
Good.
But yeah, that game was just the weirdest thing in the world. Go ahead.
We have Carmen DeFalco is the first entrant for the Holiday Parody Song Contest. We have some big announcements to make tomorrow. But in the meantime, get your holiday parody songs in. The way to do it now is by going to the webpage. We have a webpage where you can download your song to us. You'll get a confirmation.
Everybody's
ESPN.
Talking about the webpage.
It's ESPNparody.com. So this is, what is this called? Little Punter Boy? Is that the case?
I love it already.
Bleck, is that what the title is? All right, this is Carmen DeFalco.
They told me pa 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 pun pun. Our new QB they'll see pa 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 pun pun. Big arm, big slow feet pa 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 pun pun. My genius brain, it cave pa 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 pun pun pa pa pun pun pa pa pun pun. Pace, you f***ed it up pa 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 pun pun. We can't handle a stunt. Pun pun. You can throw left, poor boy. Pa 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 pun pun. Coach, re-disown me now. Pa 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 pun pun. For North and one Patterson. Shall I erase B-U from my Denny's menu?
What'd you think, Mark?
Wow, not bad. I think he did that while chugging some wild turkey.
Yeah.
But I didn't know hosts were allowed to enter. You can just jump right
in.
Okay.
Well, they can't win.
Okay.
You wanted to set the bar.
Okay.
I think that's a good place to set the
bar. Not bad, Carm.
It can be hopped over.
I want him to do a parody song about him tracking down that little kid who was terrorizing his house.
That's good.
He's got to do that. I'm going to offer some lyrics. I'm going to get on that.
Let's find out what Black and Abdallah have coming up. It's all brought to you by IDOT. Visit lifeordeathillinois.com. Boys, what do you got coming up here in 2 minutes?
Bears.
Sounds good to me.
Back to you.
Continue to call the show at 332-3776. Marky, we'll talk to you on Wednesday, okay?
Yeah. You got it, boys.
There you go. Mark Gene Greco is always brought to you by Chicago Cut Steakhouse at LaSalle and the River. Tony Dungy and Mark Gene Greco, the only guests, continue the phone calls all week long. And remember to get those holiday parody songs into us right now at ESPNParody.com. Thank you to Black and Abdallah for Marky and Waddle. I'm Sylvie. It's ESPN 1000. Have yourself a great Monday night.
It's the classic.
I am really excited.
That was a big thrill.
Hi, it's Andre Dawson, including myself, Ed Belfour.
Who's getting wild tonight? That's what I'm talking about, baby.
No hi from you.
What?
No hi from you.
I give him more buys than highs.
Waddle, waddle, waddle. Then he waddled away. Waddle, waddle. Till the very next day. Bum, 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 bum.
And thank you to all a good night.